Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information in Computer Science, Unit 3, which is entitled Computer Hardware and Architecture. A key element in understanding the field of information and computer science is knowing how a computer functions and how data is represented in memory. Along those lines, we need to understand the various input and output devices used, how these devices connect to the computer, and the CPU and its role in making the whole computer system function. We will explore all of those topics in Unit 3 and provide you with the foundation of how computers function. The objectives for this unit are to list the major elements of a computer, such as the motherboard, the CPU, input-output devices, memory, secondary storage, buses, expansion cards, ports, and so on. Describe how data is stored in memory and in secondary storage. Describe how data is represented in binary. Describe the function of the CPU. Describe how data is input and output from a computer. Describe how a computer system works together. And introduce specialized architectures and embedded systems used in healthcare systems. This slide shows the image of a port used for a mouse, a PS2 port. The port is round in shape, usually colored green, and in this case, customized to fit a vintage mouse connection type. You may still see these connections on today's motherboards, but they are becoming obsolete as we move to USB port connections. The port for the keyboard is known as a PS2 port. As the image in this slide shows, it is round in shape, usually colored purple, and customized to fit a vintage keyboard connection type. These are also becoming obsolete and replaced by USB port connector types. The video graphics array, or VGA port, is a narrow row 15-pin connector used to connect the monitor to the computer. It provides basic resolution and is still in use today. The digital visual interface port, or DVI port, provides high-quality output to flat-panel monitors. It replaced the VGA standard port since it provides higher-quality video. The high-definition multimedia interface, or HDMI port, is a small rectangular monitor port that provides high-definition video output. The image on the left side of this slide shows a DVI monitor port found on the back of the computer panel. The image on the right shows an HDMI monitor plug, which plugs into a compliant monitor. The universal serial bus, or USB port, is rectangular in shape and created to replace most parallel and serial port connection requirements through a common interface type. USB version 2 provides approximately 480 megabits per second throughput and is found in most devices as of June 2010. USB version 3 provides approximately 5 gigabits per second throughput and should replace USB version 2, FireWire, and external SATA devices because it is much faster than existing devices and port types. Another type of input-output port is the microphone and speaker port, which is an analog audio connector invented almost 100 years ago and used today in basically the same physical format. It looks like a headphone jack. The FireWire port, which is also referred to by its standard designation IEEE 1394, is rectangular in shape and used to connect external hard disk and video equipment to a computer. The latest standard provides for approximately 3 gigabytes per second throughput. The Serial Advanced Technology Attachment, or SATA, connects internal or external storage devices to the computer. The latest standard provides approximately 3 gigabytes per second throughput. The image shown at the bottom of this slide illustrates two motherboard SATA ports. The Small Computer System Interface, or SCSI port, represents a standard that allows high-speed data transfer between devices and the computer, usually tape drives and/or hard disks. While SCSI has existed since approximately 1986, it is an evolving technology and is still used in modern servers, mainly for connecting hard disks to the motherboard. The image shown at the bottom of this slide shows two SCSI ports as found on the rear panel of server computers. You might find these on modern computers if they're equipped with the ability to connect to SCSI devices. The modem port, also known as an RJ11 port, is a square type of a jack that allows a phone cable to connect the computer to a modem, which connects to a wall phone jack to provide dial-up internet access. A networking port, also known as a RJ45 jack, is typically found on today's modern computers. Vintage computers required owners to purchase and install a network interface card, or a NIC, in a motherboard PCI slot. The RJ45 jack is a port on the NIC. The square RJ45 jack allows a networking cable to connect the computer to another device, such as a switch or a router. RJ is the acronym for registered jack. Another type of an input-output port is a parallel port, which is a rectangular 25-pin port that connects a computer to a printer. Today's printers often connect to the computer via a USB port, but some printers still offer the 25-pin or DB25 port connector. This type of port sends data on all 25 pins simultaneously or in a parallel manner, and thus the name parallel port. The image on this slide shows a parallel port as found on the rear panel of a computer. The parallel port is known as a female type of port. A serial port is a round, 9-pin port used to connect the computer to modems and other devices. This type of port is also referred to as a DB9 type port because it has 9 pins. Modern computers often do not include installed serial ports. A serial port sends data one bit at a time or in a serial manner. Serial ports are used to connect to devices for terminal sessions. For example, some networking devices such as routers and switches are managed through the use of serial ports. Since most modern computers no longer include physical serial ports, USB devices and their accompanying software can emulate or imitate a serial port's behavior. The image on the bottom of this slide illustrates a male DB9 connector as found on an IBM PC-compatible computer. A serial port is also known as a male type of port. Storage devices can be classified as internal or external. An internal storage device is installed inside the computer's case on the motherboard. An external storage device is connected to the computer via a port. One type of storage is primary storage. This type of storage utilizes motherboard chips and is known as RAM, or random access memory. RAM is the primary storage area used by programs running on a computer. The operating system and running programs load directly into RAM. Anything stored in RAM is erased when power is lost, which many of you may know from experience. RAM is known as volatile memory for that very reason. These modules install directly on the motherboard. The image shown near the bottom of this slide shows two dynamic RAM or DRAM models. Another type of storage is secondary storage. This type of storage is in the form of hard disk drives, which have two different types of acronyms, HDD or HD, but they mean the same thing. The hard disk of a computer system is made up of magnetic platters that hold an electric charge, even when the computer's power is turned off. The operating system, programs, and any data, for example, files that you may have created and saved, are stored directly on the hard disk. The hard disk operates similar to a vintage record player, except that the head never really touches the platter. The image on the left of this slide shows a hard disk drive. The hard disk is installed inside a computer case via a cable. This type of hard disk drive is connected to the motherboard using an IDE cable. The image on the right shows a hard disk drive with its top cover removed. The head appears to be touching the platter as it reads and writes data to and from the disk. The head only looks like it is touching the platter. It does not actually make contact. The platter is manufactured from a special metallic alloy with a magnetic surface. A hard disk platter is divided into tracks, which are circular paths around the platter. Each track is made up of a number of sectors, which are 512 byte blocks of storage space. Disk drives connect to the motherboard through a variety of cable types such as IDE and SATA. Other types of drives exist, and as you continue your education, you will no doubt become familiar with them. IDEs, short for Integrated Drive Electronics, use a 40 or 80-pin cable to connect the hard drive to the motherboard. 80-pin cables provide better functionality. SATA drives were designed to replace IDE drives. Internal SATA drives connect to the motherboard by a 7-pin wire and operate much faster than IDE. Other secondary storage devices include USB flash drives, SCSI drives, SATA drives, tape drives, and optical or DVD drives. The image on this slide shows an X-ray of a broken 32-gigabyte USB drive. Data is stored in memory in electronic format on primary and secondary devices. When text, images, and other data are stored, each character or pixel must be converted into an electronic equivalent. Data stored in primary storage or RAM is temporary and is erased when the computer loses power. Data stored in secondary storage or hard disks is permanent. In other words, assume you created a new document and you have been typing it in for 45 minutes without saving the document. Your computer loses power. Whatever you typed into that document is lost. Fortunately, some word processing programs automatically save documents periodically, which helps minimize or avoid this outcome. We will now examine how data is stored in binary format. Computers utilize the binary number system where electricity is recognized as being in one of two states, on or off. In the early 1940s, Dr. John Atanasoff made a major contribution to computing through his understanding of electricity and Boolean logic. In fact, he originated the idea that data could be stored as a series of two electrical values, on and off. He used George Boole's work from 1850 that details the logic of a number set with only two values, true and false. This work is known as Boolean logic, and was easily applied to the concept of on and off in an electronic system. Binary numbers are those that have only one of two values, 0 or 1. As with on and off, or true and false, these numbers also follow Boolean logic. A single value of 0 or 1 is referred to as a bit, or binary digit. Bits are generally grouped together to form what is referred to as a word. Each bit's value indicates whether the software believes enough electricity was detected to set the bit to on, which is a value of 1, or off, which is a value of 0. If a small impulse of electricity is detected, this is generally accepted as an indicator of a value of off, with a corresponding bit value of 0. Note that the term small is arbitrary, but is well defined within an electrical system. If a large impulse of electricity is detected, this is generally accepted as an indicator of a value of on, with a corresponding bit value of 1. The term large is also arbitrary. Bits are generally grouped together to form what is referred to as a word. A word can be 4, 8, 16, 32, or 64 bits long, and on up, following that incremental pattern. Nintendo 64 used 64 bits to represent each pixel on its screen, meaning that each pixel could represent one of millions of colors. This means that each pixel could represent 2 to the 64th power number of colors per pixel. While the system had major limitations and other issues, it was a huge success. In fact, many at the time considered it the best invention since sliced bread, in appreciation of what it represented in computing power. Binary words can be translated into decimal equivalents. Each bit represents a placeholder for a binary exponent, starting from the right and moving to the left. In an 8-bit word, placeholder values are, starting from the left, 2 to the 7th power, which is 128, 2 to the 6th power, which is 64, 2 to the 5th power, which is the decimal equivalent of 32, and so on, all the way to 2 raised to the 0 power. Any number raised to the zero power is always the decimal power of 1. If a bit's value is on or set to the binary state of 1, then its placeholder value is added to the decimal equivalent calculation. If a bit's value is off or set to the binary state of 0, then its placeholder value is ignored as the decimal equivalent is calculated. We will now look at this in more detail. As an example, consider a 4-bit word with the binary value of 1001. You should recall from the previous slide that when you look at binary placeholders, we start from the right and move to the left. When we start from the right, we start with 2 raised to the 0 power, which gives us a decimal point of 1. Additionally, that bit is on since it has a value of 1, and we would add 2 raised to the 0 power to our running calculation. Notice that the two middle values are set to 0. That indicates that there is a lack of electricity during that particular moment in time, and so we will not add their placeholders to our running calculation. Finally, we move to the left, where the very last bit is set to on, and we add the value of 2 to the third power, the decimal number 8, to our running calculation. Therefore, the binary rule 1001, notice the subscript of B to indicate a binary number, has a decimal equivalent of 9. The formula to calculate the decimal equivalent of the binary number 1001 is 1 times 2 to the third power plus 0 times 2 to the second power times plus 0 times 2 to the first power plus 1 times 2 raised to the 0 power, which is equivalent to 8 plus 0 plus 0 plus 1, which is 9. Again, we ignore placeholder values considered to be off. 8-bit words range in value from all zeros, the value of 0, to all 8 bits being on or 1, which is the decimal equivalent of 255. You can prove this when you do the math. 2 to the 7th power plus 2 to the 6th power plus 2 to the 5th power plus 2 to the 4th power plus 2 to the 3rd power plus 2 to the 2nd power plus 2 to the 1st power plus 2 to the 0 power adds up to the decimal equivalent of 255. Consider another example. In the slide notes, locate the 8-bit example. This binary value is 1100, 1001, an 8-bit word. Stop the presentation and calculate its decimal equivalent of 201 without looking at the formula. You may pause the presentation, perform the math, and click play when you are ready to proceed. Hopefully you took a moment to calculate the result. The formula answer is 1 times 2 to the 7th power plus 1 times 2 to the 6th power plus 0 times 2 to the 5th power plus 0 times 2 to the 4th power plus 1 times 2 to the 3rd power plus 0 times 2 to the 2nd power plus 0 times 2 to the 1st power plus 1 times 2 to the 0 power. Calculating all those powers of 2, we get 128 plus 64 plus 0 plus 0 plus 8 plus 0 plus 0 plus 1 for a decimal equivalent of 201. If your answer did not match the solution, please pause the presentation and work until you get the correct answer. It is important to understand data storage acronyms, since they are commonly used to indicate storage capacity. Storage of data is measured in bytes, kilobytes, megabytes, gigabytes, and terabytes. 1024 bytes is 1 kilobyte. The acronym KB represents the word kilobyte. Notice that the K and the B are capitalized. 1024 kilobytes represents 1 megabyte. 1024 megabytes is equal to 1 gigabyte. Lastly, 1024 gigabytes is referred to as 1 terabyte. This is the pure storage numbering system, which we will discuss in more detail on the next slide. As of February 2010, the Library of Congress holds an estimated 160 terabytes of data, A typical song or an image stored on a hard disk might consume about 3 megabytes of space. Some are larger, obviously. A chest X-ray typically consumes about 20 megabytes of storage space. Hard disk manufacturers do not comply with the Pure Storage numbering system. In their world, 1 gigabyte equals 1,000 megabytes. Therefore, when you purchase a 500 gigabyte hard drive, you might think that you're getting 1,024 megabytes times 500. But that is not the case, because the manufacturers use 1,000 instead of 1,024 in their math calculations.